Final half hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Carlo Koliakovo in here first up. We're out of here in half an hour for the pregame show, Leafs Habs tonight. The first of three this week. And, you know, the Leafs are in a good place, man. They just keep rolling, and, and they're playing really well. And at this point, I think it's just about health. It's about making sure some of the newer guys get in there. Freddie Anderson is not on the trip, so he didn't take the flight to Montreal, which is, I think, expected. You know, Campbell, I believe, is going tonight. And after that, though, it sounds as if Freddie Anderson is going to either get into the lineup at the NHL level, maybe play with the Marlies. If he were to do some tuning up with the Marlies, he would not have to come off long-term IR, which may make things not as complicated because they got to make the money work here with Freddie. But he's got to play. He's got to go at some point. And once you get past tonight, you've only got four games left. So start doing the math.
Kristen Shelton, she reported that after Wednesday's practice, they will have a plan in place for Freddie. And the benefit of maybe going to the Marlies as they play five of their next six games next week at home, so he doesn't have to do much travel. But aside from the Freddie Anderson talk, like, Jack Campbell's 15-2-1 as a starter.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible.
Like, where is your confidence level with them starting the playoffs with Jack Campbell?
You can't ignore the stats, man. You can't. Exactly. I always thought, like Freddie Anderson, and I still do, I'm like, I think they need him to be the guy if they want to win a cup, because I just think that goaltending and him on top of his game, can he be that guy? Can he get ready to be that guy? I have no idea. And then you always go back to Jack Campbell, and I get tweeted, people tweet at me all the time saying, you know, it's a little ridiculous, Jeff, that you say that you need elite goaltending to win, and look at his record. And I kind of get stopped in my tracks. I'm like, you're right. What the hell is not elite about that? Nothing. Nothing.
No, his stats are elite. Go ahead.
Yeah. 2.07 goals against average and a 9.27 save percentage. And we're questioning whether or not this guy should start a playoff game for the Maple Leafs. It's like, Freddie Anderson's been an afterthought for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. And the Maple Leafs and fans are like, well, we can't win with Jack Campbell. Why? Why can't you win with him? I know it's playoff time.
That's the big difference, though. We have to be a little bit careful. You cannot take anything away what Jack Campbell has done. His numbers, like, even catch me off guard sometimes. And I've been watching him play every single game. And he just keeps running off wins, and his save percentage is through the roof. His stats are elite. Like, you take his name out of it, and you put those stats up, you'd say that's Andrei Vasilevsky. Or you'd say that's Connor Hellebuck. Like, that's how good his stats are. But he has no playoff history. And it is a different world in the playoffs in terms of being a goaltender when you're in the biggest moments. And until he does it, and he's going to be given that opportunity. Like, that I think has been concluded here. Even if Freddie comes back and plays a game or two, Jack Campbell's going to be your guy come game one. He should be your guy.
I think he has to be.
Come game one. He might not be your guy, though, come game three. Let's say the first two games he doesn't play that well. You might see a switch. Like, I don't think it's completely determined that Jack Campbell, you sink or swim with him. Like, he's just your guy for the rest of the year. And I think if he hits a wall, you might see a switch. And that might make sense. And that is maybe a perfect opportunity for Freddie Anderson to come in and kind of save the show and then maybe take it from there and you readjust after the first round, second round, whatever it might happen to be. But Campbell has been spectacular. He's been spectacular, and he's done enough when you compound it with the lack of appearances from Freddie to give him the mantle on game one. Absolutely. But he's still got to prove he can do it come playoff time. Like, oh, you and I, we've been working with Noodles forever. We've been talking goaltending with Noodles forever. And the one thing he preaches, among many other things, is stats over a small portion of time does not change who the guy really is or who you're supposed to actually believe in. You know, and if you believe Freddie Anderson gives you the better chance, regardless of save percentage versus save percentage over the past 4 months, you go with the guy who you believe
but
in
there's always
based
the
on the moment.
There's always the birdie on the other shoulder in your ear saying, can this short amount of time, can you turn it into another short amount of time right to the playoffs, and that'll just be enough time, and that's all I need.
Yeah, catch lightning in a bottle, like the Blues did with Binnington.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And maybe so that's all what we're seeing. Maybe that's what we're seeing right now, is the Jordan Binnington show. Like, I bet you if you went back and looked at his stats, now different context because St. Louis was like rock bottom when he showed up and then skyrocketed and more of a stretch run and more of a balanced season and schedule and fans in the stands and all that. But what was Binnington's stats by the end of the year before game one? Probably around what you just pointed out.
Yeah.
Like 210 goals against and like a 925 save percentage.
They won the cup in what, 1920 they won the cup, right?
Yep.
So he was 30-13 with a 2.56 goals against and a 915 save percentage.
So
maybe they might need both of them. Who knows?
Oh, 100%. I think you'd have to agree that they're going to need both of them because
Chicago won a cup with both of them. They had to get that dude in there to win the series against Nashville. Darling.
Miami? Or Darling. You're right. Yes,
Darling
Crawford
had to go
and Scott
in.
Darling.
Yeah, Crawford had to come out. Darling had to go in. And who just did it recently?
Well, in Washington they did.
Washington, Holtby and Grubauer.
Yeah, Grubauer started, yeah. And Holtby. And I think that is something that we should probably be bracing ourselves for. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. I think perfect world, Jack Campbell keeps rolling. Give him the net. You don't slow down. Take it. Go for it. You know, I'm all for that. I'm not – for me, Campbell is your starter game one, even if Freddie Anderson returns in the next 2 weeks. Absolutely. But I'm not willing at this point to just hand him the net and say it's 100% yours. I don't think that's wise if you're Sheldon Keefe. I think you always give yourself an out with a guy who doesn't have a ton of experience like Jack Campbell. And a guy that you do trust, maybe not in the moment, but at some point you trusted Freddie Anderson, right? For 4.5 years, he was the starter here. Define the guy, number one, no disputing it. And he's played himself out of that in some regards based on his play in the past year and a half and because of the injury issues and the fact that he quite literally can't go. And on top of it, Campbell has given you reason to truly have faith in him. All I'm saying is I'm not just going to end the Anderson era, and I don't think it's smart to do that. You might need him. And if you need him, it's probably because Campbell stumbled a little bit, and then you got to hope that Freddie Anderson can at least stabilize your group.
You're absolutely right, Hayes, because, listen, the Maple Leafs had their chance to move on from Freddie in the offseason, and they chose to stick with him, and rightfully so. And you think easy before the season started, you could have said, as good as this team is going to be, they're only going to go as far as Freddie Anderson takes them. And I still believe that, just like you said. And we don't even know the health, you know, the health concern around Jack Campbell. Is he still dealing with something nagging, right? I mean, like, they have the benefit of the schedule coming up here where they're not playing back-to-back games. You know, they have a couple of days between games for the most part. They can load manage everything. But having two healthy goalies that you can count on any night, this is a luxury the Maple Leafs have never had come playoff time.
And that, I think, can be very beneficial. I mean, there are how many goalies in the league where you just hand them the mantle and say, you got it? You know, like Vasilevsky comes to mind, Hellebuck, Carey Price when he's healthy, and there's probably a few more throughout the league. But even look at Vegas. Even Vegas, I think they're going to have multiple goalies. Yeah, I think you got to play Fleury because of how well he's played, but I think Leonard's going to get in there at some point. I think you're going to see starts from both guys. And what I'm saying is I think that, like we know, you just referenced history with Grubauer and Holtby. We saw it with Murray and Fleury in Pittsburgh. Multiple times. We saw it in Chicago. We've seen it before, and I think that may end up happening here in Toronto, and I will not be surprised at all if it does. But you got to crawl before you walk, before you sprint. The crawling is pick your guy at the start, and that's Jack Campbell, and it should be. Like, Campbell has done that. He has played well enough, and the uncertainty that comes with Freddie Anderson, let Campbell take the first crack at it. And if he plays so well that you don't have to worry about the backup, awesome. Like, that's a perfect world scenario. That'd be great. I'd promote that all day as an ideal fallout here. But
here's another thing to factor in.
Freddie Anderson goes.
Here's another thing to factor in. And we talked about, you know, scheduling come playoff time, depending on who they play. This is the only division in hockey that has to navigate through four different time zones. I did that when I played in Detroit. My first round playoff matchup in 2013 was against the Anaheim Ducks. You know what our off days were like? 4.5-hour flight plus 3-hour time change.
Bro, that has nothing to do with the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't know what you're talking about.
What I'm saying is that fatigue can set in for the goalies, right? If you're playing every other day, it's a luxury to have two guys that you can count on every night.
Well, I don't know if they're going to look at staggering based on scheduling come the playoffs, but I think based on play, you know, and based on, to your point, though, if a guy slips, regardless of why or how, he just runs out of gas or doesn't play well, you know, that's going to put
you can lean on the other guy.
Then you might have to.
And right? Don't forget, Price is coming out of the bullpen.
Just to establish that.
Is that Carey Price or David Price?
David Price coming out of the bullpen.
Like, you can't forget it, man. You cannot forget
Bang!
That.
Bang! There it is.
Well, follow. Have that one ready. Have that little drop ready when I read this, because now that you brought baseball up, and we're going to have Al's brother here in a moment, Jose Canseco tweeted out 15 minutes ago. He hates Alex Rodriguez so much. It's funny that Melinda Gates and A-Rod will be publicly dating by the end of the summer.
Bang!
What's your Jerry's percentage on that happening? I give it 15%. I think A-Rod will be calling.
I think A-Rod's a unique dude. He's off, like, obviously a unique person, amazing athlete. But he started to annoy me so much with his social media. Like, he would just snap a pic saying, "What are you doing today?" And he would take a selfie with a Rolls Royce behind him and a private jet behind him. And it was just like, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, it was just got to be too much for me.
Just bragging the high roller life, eh?
It's just something else. I mean, everybody's got their thing.
Well, I think Canseco's got – he's on to something here. I think Bill Gates, Melinda Gates divorcing after 27 years, it is going to be something. Like, TMZ will be all over that.
Oh,
tracking
yeah.
where the two of them end up once
that COVID's over. You got to submit how much you think she's getting.
Oh, man. I think, like, based on her own standing, just because she's, like, involved in the company and owns stock, I think she's worth $60 billion anyway. Like, I don't even know if it's really a divorce proceeding. I think it's just,
make it work on $60 billion?
Yeah. Imagine haggling over, like, $15 billion, which is a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
But if you already have $60 in the bank, one way or the other. Because Bezos, like when Bezos and his wife divorced, they had been together for a long time. I think they almost split it. Like, it was pretty close. I think Bezos had a little bit more, but Bezos' ex-wife, she walked away with like $65 billion or something like that. And I'm thinking Amazing. Melinda will be in a similar spot. All right, Al's brother, he's been down in the basement drinking coffees and getting prepped for hours waiting to do this. And we always love Al's brother's power rankings, and they are brought to you by our friends at Doer, the world's most comfortable pants. Shop online at doer.ca/TO and use code TSN1050 to save 15%. These are the most comfortable pants in the business. Al's brother would not put his name on it if it wasn't true. And, again, use TSN1050 at doer.ca/Toronto. Let's play the intro and bring in Al's brother.
La troisième étoile du match ce soir, the third star, le smile down.
Le frère de Al, there he is. In studio, looking good, feeling good. Al's brother, how are you? It was a busy weekend for you, tweeting away about the NFL draft.
Yeah, I told you, that is my Christmas. I get so jazzed up. We're in the seventh round, and I'm still looking at some guys on the board, and I'm like, how is Dylan Moses still not taken? No one taking a flyer on this guy. That was the guy you were referring to when I was talking about undrafted free agents who ended up in Jacksonville. Good spot.
I was shocked about that, too. I was right there with you, Al's brother.
Yep, you and many others.
Yes, many others following along, wondering what Al's brother, Kiper Jr., had to say about the draft. All right, so what are we doing here? Lay down the parameters of your top seven power ranking today.
So, you know, on the theme, what we've been talking about for most of the day is goal scorers. And we're going to take a look at the top seven Canadian goal scorers. So those who are born in this great nation and those who are the best goal scorers in the game today. It's a little bit of a compilation also of kind of like career-wise, also, you know, what have they done for you lately type thing as well. So
I love it. So many variables at play. I would expect nothing less from Al's brother. Let's bring it, man. Bring the heat. Who do you have at number 7 on the power ranking this week?
We're gonna go with one of those "what have you done for me lately" guys here at number 7. I got to give some love to my man Tyler Toffoli because he is having a fantastic season. 27 goals, tied for 3rd in the NHL. The reason why you can't have him a little higher on this list, I think, is just because this is a little bit of an anomaly, right? He's only had one 30-goal season in his career, and he's like 29 years old. So he could very well kind of fall back to earth a little bit, but got to give my man Toffoli some respect on the great year he's having.
That is more about what have you done for me lately. But as we established earlier, there aren't as many great, like, pure Canadian goal scorers as there once was, man. It's gone international, right? Matthews, Pastrnak, Ovi, Dreisaitl. All right, so you got Toffoli at 7. Who do you have at 6?
Sid the Kid. Coming in at number 6, and he might be a little lower than some people thought he would come in at, but this is more of, again, what have you done for me lately? He's only has one 30-goal season over the last 4 years. Don't get me wrong, still an exceptional talent, top 5 player of the league. But when it comes to being a pure traditional goal scorer, he's more of a playmaker, and he happens to score a lot of goals, and he has over the course of his career, 9 30-plus goal seasons. But right now I have him sitting there around the 6th best goal scorer in the country.
Yeah. And interesting, you slide him into the top 5 still in the league. I don't know. Is Crosby
in the
still top 5? He's in the conversation.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. And okay, you got Sid at 6. These are the top 7 Canadian-born goal scorers in the league right now. Who do you have at number 5?
Braden Point from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Wow,
this is kind of a
dark
horse pick who maybe doesn't come to light a lot up here in Canada, but this kid can score. And he's young, too. And he's like 23, 24 years old. He was a third-round pick, but he scored 18 his rookie year, 32 his second year, 41 goals his third year in the league, scored 25 in a COVID-shortened year last season, has 22 this year, on pace for 34. On a team that really, when you look at Stamkos' health, needed somebody to kind of drive the bus alongside Kucherov, Brent Point stepped up, and he scores goals in bunches. So I love this kid. I'm at number 5.
Yeah, no, I thought he'd be higher up your list. Like you said, what's he got, 22 this year?
Yeah.
Dude, he was so good in the playoffs last year, it was scary.
Yeah. He's
scary
unbelievable.
How good that guy
he's
was.
A legit, I think, 40-goal threat, like in a regular season, in an 82-game regular season. And you got him at 5. Okay, now you got me intrigued here, Alice brother. Into the top 4, who do you have at number 4?
I got Nate McKinnon coming in at number 4, a guy who I think is definitely a top 5 player in the league. And kind of similar to Crosby, where it's like he kind of lucks into goals just because he's so dang good. But the guy still can score 40 goals in a season. He had 40 goals last year. He was unbelievable in the playoffs. There was a point, where you're talking about this guy as the best player on the planet, better than McDavid, because of the unreal plays and goals that he was scoring in the playoffs.
Yes, and so you don't get me in trouble, Al's brother. That was at that particular time.
Yes.
McDavid wasn't playing, so don't tweet at me, people, because I really don't need it. I really don't need
He's still, McKinnon's still top 3.
Dude, he was so good in that bubble. He was, at that particular time, he was the best player on the planet. Not even close.
No. It's not like you said someone way down the list. I mean, Big Nate's, he's still in the chatter, man. He's having himself a rock star season, especially down the stretch. All right, you got McKinnon at 4, Al's brother. We're into the top 3. Who do you have at number 3, the best Canadian goal scorers as of today?
You guys stole my thunder a little bit by talking about this man, Brad Marchand. And I was like, I'm going to sneak this guy in because no one talks about him. But he just scores goals. Like, he's super efficient, too. You take a look at this list. Nate McKinnon leads all shooters in Canada with like over 500 shots the last couple of years. Brad Marchand, in 201 less shots, has the same amount of goals as Nathan McKinnon. He just finds the sweet spot and puts it into the back of the net. He's insanely efficient. So for me, Marchand is like you said, he's under-talked about, and for me, a top 3 goal scorer in the country.
Yeah, I mean, his stats, he's top 5 in the league this year. He's got 27 goals in 48 games. I mean, you extrapolate that out. The guy's, he's never hit 40 in his career, but he's been real close.
And he's not necessarily like the number one guy on his team when it comes to scoring. Like, they try and get the puck to Pastrnak as much as possible, but he still finds a way to get his cookies.
No, I'm looking at it now. You go back to 16-17, so the last 5 years, he had 39, 34, 36, and then 28 in the COVID year, 27 this year in 48 games. I mean, that you're averaging out mid to high 30s in a year. That's a stud, man. That's what Brad Marchand is. Okay, into the top 2. Who do you have at 2?
This one is kind of a legacy pick, I'm going to go ahead and say, but Steven Stamkos can still shoot the puck. Like, he's one of the the best goal scorers, I think, of my generation up there with the Alex Ovechkins. You know, he's been stymied a little bit by injury as of late, but 439 goals in his career is just absolutely incredible. He was a guy who I envisioned being a 50 to 60 goal scorer in his prime. If it wasn't for the injuries, I think he legitimately would be up there when it comes to guys chasing Gretzky for that goal record.
Yeah, I mean, especially the way he started, right? Like he had 60 in his third year in the league or something like that. Like he's been right there. He's been in the shadow of Ovechkin, which has been a consistent theme throughout the day. Ever since
with Marty St. Louis, though, that was gold. That was hockey at its best, man.
That helped. And now listen, he's been riding with Kucherov too for a while. Yeah. Like Kucherov's as good as Marty St. Louis, I would suggest, but. He's had good players to play with, but everyone needs that. No one's going to hold that against him. But you're right, man. If it wasn't for injuries and Ovi, I think you'd be talking about Stamkos as probably the best goal scorer of the last 15 years.
Well, he's so good. He's got like a patented Stamkos shot, right? Right at the point on the power play, he shoots it right from the dot. Like, that's a patented Stamkos goal. Anybody in today's game scores from there, that's the Stamkos spot. That's all what we always call it, right? And, I mean, if you have something named after you, you got to be pretty darn good to have that happen. So.
Yeah, pretty good spot. The Ovi spot, the Stamkos spot, Messier off the off wing. Like, there's only been so many spots on the ice. Gretzky behind the net. You got it, man. Okay, so I'm assuming, and I hate to steal your thunder here, but I think I know who you're going with number one. But I'll let you take the floor. Who do you have as the best Canadian-born goal scorer in the game today?
And if you called it, Bo Horvat the best. No, I'm kidding.
Alex, brother.
Come on, Alex, brother.
It's Connor, man. Connor McDavid is just an absolute wizard out there. Much along the ilk of the McKinnons and the Crosbys, you know, he's just so skilled when he's out there. But unlike those guys, he actually, like, can score in multiple different ways, and he wants to score goals. Like, I think this dude is legitimately going to tear up the league for the next decade. Him and Austin Matthews are probably going to be neck and neck for the next 10, maybe 15 years.
Scary to think that this year might not even like be the best of what he offers.
No. Imagine if he gets a team around him. Like, right now he's got Draisaitl, obviously a top talent in the league, but like if they get a real solid group there that can get him the puck and take defenders away from him so they're not just, you know, always cheating towards him, imagine what he can do.
Could you imagine if the Oilers built their team like the Maple Leafs did?
Get him a Marner-type player to get him the puck.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's playing with Draisaitl. It's a pretty good pairing, but
not that much.
Yeah, he's I'm not sure it matters, though, who he plays with. Or, like, he is a one-man show. He's a one-man band. Like, he's going to find open ice, and there's nothing you can do. Like, when he gets open and he's flying through the neutral zone, man, it is terror. He is terrifying the opposition. But, you know, I'm kind of with you. Like, he's just stepped into his prime. So I think he's got another 3 to 5 years where you're going to see at least a couple more years like the one he's having right now. And he's going to score 50 at some point in his career.
Easy. Like
I would say he'll win the Rocket 1 year because that's one thing.
I think you're right.
That would be a chip on his shoulder and one of the awards he probably – you know, probably won't win up until now.
Like Crosby.
Al's brother, great seeing you, buddy. Great job as always.
Thank you. Do it
again real soon. Carlo, great seeing you too, buddy. We'll hear you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on First Up.
Hell yeah, buddy.
All right, buddy. And Noodles will be back tomorrow. Enjoy yourself over there. We're out of here. The Maple Leaf pregame is up next. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at...
Hazy, you look tired. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Wow!
A double!